brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I hear from so many of you, and I consider myself so fortunate to have listeners like you. I value your questions. I value your comments. I certainly value those of you who say that you pray for me. I am very, very grateful for that. Today, we begin with the prophet Daniel, and this is excerpts. So let me put a framework here. The verses we're reading are chapter 3, verses 14 to 20, and then we skipped to 91, 92, and 95. They're offering a particular point here, and if we read all of this, we wouldn't have any time for the gospel. So within the context of the Mass, this is the reading from the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my God or worship the golden statue that I set up? Be ready now to fall down and worship the statue I had made. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, the flute, the lyre, the harp, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments. Otherwise, you shall be instantly cast into the white-hot furnace. And who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "There is no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the white-hot furnace and from your hands, O king, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up." That right there, just those verses right there, 14 to 20. Look at the integrity, look at the conviction, even though the punishment was to be burned alive. They would not turn away from God and to what they believed to be true. How strong are we? I ask myself that question. What would I do in the face of that kind of horrendous physical death? You know what I do now? I pray now, God, give me the grace to love you to the end. However that end comes, give me the grace to love you and to be faithful to you to the end. In most cases, you're not going to be able to do that unless you're making some decisions now that get you on the right path. Decisions like, I will go to Mass on Sunday, even though people want me to do this, and oh, I can skip this Sunday, can't I? No, the worship of God has utter priority. So I will choose to do what is right and good in my relationships. In all the false gods that the world holds out to me to worship with my time, with my money, with my body, am I making clear choices? O king, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up. King Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than usual and had some of the strongest men in his army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the white-hot furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, now here's where we skip. The white-hot furnace, and then we move to verse 91. What takes place in here is they're thrown into the fiery furnace and Nebuchadnezzar goes back to his castle or whatever for the night. But in the morning, Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste and asked his nobles, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" "Assuredly, O king," they answered. But he replied, "I see 4 men unfettered and unhurt walking in the fire, and the 4th looks like a son of God." And Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. What's happened? Nebuchadnezzar sees the truth. He is overcome by their fidelity. He is overcome by their bravery. That God was more important to them than their own lives. Brothers and sisters, how clear are we? Really? Our King, our Savior, died for us so that we could have eternal life. How truly committed am I to Him? How loyal am I to Him? Ask God for the grace. Don't just go through the motions. They won't save you should a day of disaster come for us, when we too have to face those who would oppose God, and our lives are at stake. How ready are you to stand for the gospel? How ready are you to stand for our Father in heaven and for His Son, Jesus Christ? The responsorial psalm from Deuteronomy 3, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you in the temple of your glory. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne. Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven." I said the other day about memorizing scripture. This is a good one to memorize. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Really good to memorize that so that you can praise God. When you don't have access to your Bible, you're at work, you can walk down a hall going, "Blessed are you in the temple of your glory, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever." We can memorize scripture in a way that it goes with us wherever we are. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 42, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word," that means you live in my word, you obey it. "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth." And the truth is a person. You will know the truth, Jesus, and the truth, Jesus, will set you free. And they answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" See, they don't even hear. They just latch onto one word that they want to take issue with him on. Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will truly be free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you." Could Christ make that accusation of us? Does God's word have room in us? Do we live by it? Do we obey it? Is it the framework in our lives? "I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father. My word has no room among you." And they answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." See, they can't see beyond what they've been taught. God is now revealing himself. The Messiah is coming, for which the Jewish people longed for thousands of years. And he comes, and he doesn't come, as I've so often said, he doesn't come the way they expect it. He comes, in a certain sense, hidden in our humanity. So they take issue. They're proud. They're arrogant. They think they know it all. They're the teachers of the law. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, because I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me. In hindsight, we can see exactly what he's saying. But there was such, it's not that they didn't have a right to ask questions. We all have a right to ask questions. But they had already made their decisions and condemned the Messiah because he didn't fit into the framework that they had, the framework on which they had built their reputation, the framework on which they received praise and respect. They didn't want to lose that. So they're blinded by their own pride. And they couldn't hear the voice of the Savior bringing them words that would truly bring them to life. And brothers and sisters, it's the same for us, I think. It's the same for us. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? That's the real question. Is there some area in your life where you are paying more attention to what the world tells you than you are to what God tells you, what the catechism tells you, what the scripture tells you? Who are you paying attention to? Who are you listening? Whose voice are you listening to? It's so easy, brothers and sisters, to get pulled off track. Oh, just this one time, just this little drink, just this little some kind of a drug, just this little whatever. And it captures us. One sin easily leads to another, and to another, and to another. And sometimes we're so mired in sin, we don't even see it. Because we become blind and deafened by sin to the gospel. We become deafened and blind to the voice of our Savior pleading with us in our heart to turn back to him. So I want to say particularly today to those of you who followed God once and then you turned away. You got involved in something. You wanted to stay there. You liked it. You were enticed by it. And finally, the world captured you. God is giving you grace to turn back to him. Oh, but it'll mean this, or it'll mean that, or I'll have to give up this job, or I'll have to give up this relationship. Brothers and sisters, you're giving up, no matter how big it seems to you, you're giving up something very small, really, in relation to eternal life, in relationship, in love with the living God. Don't do that. Don't do that. Make a clear choice. The grace is there for you today. The grace is available for you today. Please open your heart. Please open your mind. Please open your spirit to the living God. Because what he has for you will last for all eternity. What he has for you, no matter what you have to give up in this world, what he has for you far surpasses anything that the world could offer. Open up your heart. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.